Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the teleconference where Mr. Andreas Koopmans, Chief Executive Officer of Bob's Group, will be discussing the group's 2007 half-year financial results. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And for overseas listeners, good morning. And thank you for the interest you show in the Bob's Group by attending this traditional telephone conference on our mid-year results. The purpose of this telephone conference is, of course, to give you some additional comments on what happened in the first half of 2007 and give you some information on how we see the rest of the year. With me for this event are Christian Budry, our Chief Financial Officer, and Joseph Santoro, our Investors Relationship Manager and Group Treasurer. Early this morning, we published a press release and the media report, which are, of course, also available on the Bob's Group internet site. I assume that you have had a chance to review these documents. At the start, let me give you some additional comments on these results. We have experienced a strong growth rate year on year in turnover as we reach 10% growth, including 1.8% due to the evolution of the exchange rates. The organic growth has therefore reached a strong 8.2%, as the scope of consolidation has not changed in this first half year. The increase in turnover of 64.5 million Swiss francs came from all three of our business areas, which reflects the overall favorable economic worldwide situation, but certainly also the high interest the packaging manufacturers in the three business areas, folding carton, corrugated board, and flexible materials industries, have in our products, and especially in our innovations. Indeed, the three business areas have shown growth in this first half year. Folding carton a strong 12.3%, corrugated board 4.4%, and flexible materials a high 19%, however, compared with a weak first half of 2006. Also, the profitability in all three business areas progressed very well and was influenced positively by the many actions launched within and outside the program goal, and in addition, of course, to the volume increase and the relative positive evolution of the exchange rates. The jump in operating profit rate in folding carton of 440 basis points year on year to reach the 11.6% for the first half is certainly an excellent sign that we have undertaken the right initiatives and that they bear fruit. Corrugated board is also starting to improve with an operating margin increase of 60 basis points. As anticipated, flexible materials showed a slight loss at operating profit level, but significantly reduced by over 10 million Swiss francs to reach 5.3 million in this first half. And we confirm our goal to reach break-even at operating profit level for the whole of 2007. For the group, this allowed to reach the 6.6% operating margin in the first half, traditionally weaker than the full year. Last year, the first half operating margin was only 2.7%, and also an increase of 25.7 million Swiss francs in net profit to reach the 34.5 million net profit with a margin of 4.8%, which last year was 1.4%. We are, of course, pleased with these very positive results and these evolutions and expect them to continue for the rest of 2007, despite some uncertainties which we will mention a little bit later on. You have certainly noticed that we have increased our guidance on the expected turnover evolution in 2007 compared to 2006 to be above 5%. Indeed, we feel confident that with the very positive start of the year, we will beat our initial guidance of 1 to 3% turnover increase. We also confirm that we expect, like in all the past years, 2007 to be somewhat unbalanced between the two semesters, H2 being stronger than H1. However, we confirm also that we see this unbalance to be weaker than last year, 2006. At this point in time, we indeed do not think that we will reach the same 8% organic turnover, growth turnover, for in the first half year, also in the second half. The main reasons are, first, that we have some difficulties assessing the possible impact of the unrest in the financial markets we all observed since a few weeks. Some of our customers could postpone investment decisions if the overall climate becomes too uncertain. A second reason could be the upcoming World Exhibition Drupa in Düsseldorf, early June 2008, for the folding carton and the flexible materials industry, which could push certain customers to want to wait to see what will be exhibited before deciding on an investment. And last but not least, the very tight suppliers markets for raw materials and components create some difficulties on our supply side due to the longer deliveries and a clear reduction in the reliabilities of the promised delivery dates. Our efforts undertaken in the last years to reduce our inventories do, of course, not exactly help in such a situation. We should also mention that we have also to stay prudent in possible shifts in deliveries of machines at the tail end of the year into 2008, as we experienced them in some of the past years. All these elements are reasons not to overshoot in our outlook for the whole year of 2007. On the profitability side, we continue to feel more and more comfortable to achieve the net profit of more than 90 million Swiss francs for the year 2007, with all the actions of the program GO bearing fruits. As a reminder, 90 million is nearly double the profit we made in 2004, 3 years ago, when we launched this important productivity improvement program. This positive guidance is supported also by the excellent backlog situation we had starting the second half. As you know, we express our backlog in number of months. At the end of June, thanks to the strong order intake in the first half, we had a backlog of slightly over 6 months, which historically is on the high side. This does, of course, not mean that we do not need any orders anymore in the second half of the year, as this backlog volume is spread over more than 6 months, and we have to build also a very healthy backlog for the beginning of next year. We say that 6 months is on the high side because it reduces our response time on the market, which could, at a certain point in time, have some drawbacks. Fortunately, for the moment, this is not the case. The last point which I want to comment before entering the question and answers part of this telephone conference is the group strategy review we launched. We are progressing very well. In close cooperation with our board of directors, we are reviewing our 3x3 vision, defining strategic objectives for the years to come, reviewing our fields of activities of today and potential future ones, basically our portfolio management, and of course also defining the main strategic initiatives to be launched to implement the reviewed strategy. These will be the backbone of the pursuits of the transformation of our group started with the program GO, this last one coming to an end, as such, in a few months. I hope this additional information was useful to you, and we can now start with questions and answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you wish to ask a question, please press star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone touchpad. We will take questions in the order received, and we'll take as many as time permits. Once again, press star or the asterisk followed by the 1 on if you have a question. Your first question comes from Alex Miller-Lorry. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Three questions possibly, please. The first one, in terms of the order intake, can you give us the backlog for the three divisions in months as you've done for the whole company, please? Secondly, can you give us an idea of how orders developed in July and August? I suppose those are not important months, but perhaps it's useful to know the trend. And finally, You mentioned about we shouldn't be too aggressive in terms of organic growth for the second half, but can you give us an idea if you expect any of the three divisions to post a lower sales figure than in H2 2006, please?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Migliorini. Concerning your first question on the order intake by business area, in the folding carton industry, we are above 5 months. In the corrugated area, we're above 6 months. And in flexible materials, we're around 8 months, which is not unusual because in the flexible materials, some of the equipment has also longer lead times. But these are the distribution by BAs in terms of order intake and expressed in months. And for everybody, once more, I would like to mention that it's the sum of the backlog divided by the foreseen turnover. And it, of course, does not mean that we don't have room to take additional orders in the meantime. As a matter of fact, we will need them. The summer months, July, August, as you perfectly said, they're usually a bit slower months. The southern part of Europe is a bit slow, and other countries are a bit slow also. But the trend is absolutely positive. We are confident that the things are coming along. Even more importantly, our sales force in the fields are reporting that the number of projects are still high, and the discussions are active. The interest of customers is there, so we hope, of course, to continue on this. What we don't know, as a matter of fact, is in the two business areas, folding carton and flexible material, if indeed there will be, as it happened in the past, a drupa effect, as we call it, that which I mentioned in the introduction. We don't know yet. For the moment, there's no sign, but we're a bit early in the game, so we will see how that happens. Now, in terms of organic growth by business areas for the second half, our estimate is that they should all grow a little bit in the second half also. So we don't see a turn down in trend completely as much as that in the second half for none of the business areas, because we feel that the market is lively, active, and the interest in our products, and especially that's where we are proud in some of our innovations, is good. As you know, it's always difficult for us to, a few years in advance, try to anticipate the needs of our customers, but that shows that apparently our tie to the markets and the key customers is good to allow us to develop for them the right products. Did I answer your questions, Mr. Migliorini?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Thomas Buhmann. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I also have three questions, if I may. The first one goes to the regional development, and here I have a question to the Americas. You say in your comment that the business has or remained active, but if I look at the numbers, they're actually down 18.8%. And then you also say that Latin America was growing, and corrugated board was very strong. So that leads me to the conclusion that the U.S. business, probably in flexible and folding carton, must have been terribly weak, if the interpretation is right here. Can you help me here to understand the business there? Then my second question goes to flexible materials, if I may. You just said that you would also expect a slight growth in all divisions that obviously include flexible materials, and that would give a slightly higher volume in H2 than in H2 2006. Is there any reason, i.e. product mix or special effects or pricing pressure, that would explain or indicate that on the same volume you would generate lower EBIT in H2 in flexible than last year? And my third question goes to the new range of equipment, Starfold and Visionfold. I would be glad to hear a little bit more about that, what it is and what it does, and what specific market and application it addresses. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. On the first question concerning the Americas, We are positive on the Americas because we look at the order intake, and here, of course, we look at the sales side. And it's true that in terms of sales side, there is a reduction, but there's nothing to worry about because the order intake has been positive, more so indeed in the Latin, Central and Latin American portion of the Americas, more so in the U.S. than in Canada. Canada has been a particularly weak with the exchange rate evolution of the Canadian dollar to the U.S. dollar. There is a shift of production in our industries we serve from Canada to the U.S. And you know that that shift can shift quite quickly depending on the exchange rate fluctuation there. So Canada is weak. U.S., I would say based on the overall economic situation we hear that is going on in the U.S., we are still positive. I mean, our customers are continuing to be well loaded. They are looking for investments. It's not buoyant, but it's a good market. And Latin America and South America are relatively good as markets also. So it's maybe just the fact that in the 6 months shipments have been a little bit low in that area that you could have that picture, but it does not really reflect the underlying assessment of the market as we see it, frankly. In the flexible material, I think your second question, slight growth also in the second half, which means that the volume second half of flexible materials would be higher than in 2007 and 2006. You are correct. No, there is no foreseen product mix that should push down on the EBIT. We expect a continuous improvement, and our forecast of breaking even over the total year, we feel, of course, more comfortable with it now. And you know the way we inform, we are a little bit conservative on our way of talking to the market because we don't want to disappoint it. But you should not assume in your projections that the EBIT margin will be reduced in FM in the second half, at least not as the way we see it coming today. For the third question, which I think is a very interesting one, these are two new products. Those are foam gluers that for the microflute boxes. You know, microflute boxes are boxes, high-quality printing, because they're laminated with offset printing sheets on fine flute corrugated board, which allows fantastic rigidity of the packaging and lightweight. And this is, you see those applications mostly in the toys business, in some of the luxury perfumery business, some of the liquor business, some pharmaceuticals go into there also. It's basically where you have something relatively big size and fragile to pack, and you want the pack to have the rigidity of the corrugated board, but the printing quality of folding carton. And that's a growing segment. We talked about that several times. It's a relatively growing segment situated in between the traditional corrugated board industry and the traditional folding carton industry. And for that growth, we have developed two new folder gluers, the Star Fold and Vision Fold, with our newest technologies in terms of both technologies at the service of the customers. That means make the machines as easy to use as possible. In a folder gluer, the performance is very much dependent on the quality of the operator, on his training. And we have tried to make machines that are much easier to use and user-friendly on one hand. And on the other hand, we have used our engineering skills to make these machines at lower costs and price, as a matter of fact, than what is available in the market, what wasn't available in the market before. And therefore, the acceptance side on the customer is the first signs are excellent, that these are really machines that are necessary for them. They're quite high productive. They're not the most productive, so they're sort of a positioning in the middle-upper segment of the market. Is this enough information to answer your questions, Mr. Bauman?
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Ralph Chams. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can I just first of all say that they are quite stunning results you've delivered there, and well done to you all. Three sets of questions. The first one regards just two items on the balance sheet. The first one is the receivables from leasing arrangements. It seems you continue to reduce them. I think the long-term ones you've reduced about 10 million year on year. Is that a trend we can also expect further in the second half of the year and then in 2008? The second question on the balance sheet is you mentioned the inventory situation, where you're clearly absolutely right. On the one hand, people ask you to reduce inventories because it's meant to be good, but then when the supply situation gets a bit more difficult, that can actually hinder business. Does that mean that you might actually take the decision to actually increase the level of inventories in the next 6 to 12 months just to make sure that delivery times are met? Maybe start with these two questions.
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, thank you for your first comment. Very kind of you. Concerning the receivable, the leasing, the receivables coming from leasing, our policy is clearly to try to continue to find reliable partners in the various regions, countries of the world, with whom we can make business with our customers. That is really delegate this whole aspect of financing, customer financing and leasing to them. Therefore, we are really striving to continue to reduce that line on the balance sheet. Of course, we will have to. It's also a little bit dependent on volume and where we do volume. Some countries are more for leasing, some other countries less. But that's really the trend. You can assume that should rather decrease than increase in the future, including in 2008, as you very well mentioned. Now the inventory. Yes, we are. We have many things underway and done to reduce our inventory level. I think the potential was there. There's still some potential, indeed. But and when you want to reduce your inventory, you have to actually work more just in time with your suppliers. And then when the delivery dates of your suppliers start to become less reliable, you have the assembly of your machine that is stopped because maybe you might be missing one part on a machine which and you know some of our simplest machines have between 2,000 and 8,000 parts. So one of them missing and it's one key part, it stops the assembly of the machine, and that of course is extremely disturbing. Not only in the planning, in our reliability of delivery dates, which sometimes gives difficult customer situations because we then put them into difficulties because they plan the production with the new machine. There's a whole chain of effect there that we are trying to manage as well as we can in terms of supply to our assembly. Now, on the raw material side, and of course this is, and I have to mention that also, this is of course not the environment where you can reduce your input costs. So we are also fighting at that level. We don't think that in your projections you should foresee reduction in margins. It's not to that extent, and we're trying to overcome it with productivity increases in order to compensate the increase in input costs. But it's a tense situation. Now we will continue to try to reduce inventory, but our priorities are extremely clear. Is that we will do it as long as we can continue to satisfy our customers to the best of our abilities. If indeed it would require to reduce less fast our inventories in order to be able to supply our machines, we will slow down on inventory reduction because we think our service to our customers has clearly priority. Now, we will continue also to try to reduce it. I don't see an increase in inventory at the year end. I think you should not count with that. But we will, in order to reach the goal of the program goal of reducing our 200 million capital utilization, it will come more from the receivable side than the inventory side, probably, also due to this. And therefore, it will not be 50-50, but it probably will be higher on the receivable side than on the inventory side. But we are still confident that we should be able to reach the goal that we set ourselves with the growth program of this 200 million reduction of capital utilization compared to December 31st, 2004 balance sheet figures.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going in that direction. It's a little bit uncertain at the moment, but I think we can manage. We can manage it. Did I answer your question?
You answered it extremely well. Just on the backlog, you kindly provided the backlog numbers in terms of month for the group and for the divisions. Could you just remind me what these numbers would have been exactly 12 months ago at the half-year stage 06?
Yes, let me just dig out the paper where we have that on it. Just a couple of seconds, please. It was at our conference call in August last year. I think it was, here it comes. In August, it was. Total was a little bit above or around 5 months. We had 7 months in flexible. We had short 4 months, 4 months in corrugated board, and a good 4 months in folding carton. So you see that it indeed, the backlog is higher, and it should not go too high, because we would not like to want to lose orders because of delivery dates. We hope still that our argumentation concerning the difference of our equipment compared to competition equipment is strong enough to convince the customer that even if he has to wait a few weeks more, it's better off, he's better off with our equipment. But of course, there's a limit to that, because they are also under production pressure, and at one point in time, it becomes impossible for them. But for the moment, we don't lose orders.
Right. And then just moving on to the issue of Drupa, I mean, first of all, what is the estimated cost that you will have in your income statement linked to Drupa in 2008? And then I would have thought, considering the lead times you're running, that if there was a Drupa effect, you should already have felt it now. Clearly, at the moment, your order backlog gives you a very good utilization, you know, probably till February, March, which means you're almost at Drupa anyway, and then the new orders come in. I mean, it almost sounds like if there was a Drupa effect, you should feel it already, but there is none, or is that just a wrong way of reading things?
For the moment, there is none. There is really none, no Drupa effect felt. Our sales forces are clear on that. Customers start to talk about Drupa, but it does not hold back ordering for the moment. That's the first point, which is right. The second point, clearly, if there would be such an effect of Drupa, the better the backlog we have, the better chance we will have to bridge in terms of turnover the temporary low that it could bring into the flexible materials and the folding carton industries. And that's the goal. It's to try to get as long and as strong and as a good quality backlog as possible in order to, if something would come, we could bridge the situation nicely in the months to come. So that's the whole tactic behind, and you're absolutely right in looking at it this way. Now, the cost of Drupa will be of the same order of magnitude as in the past, but at the moment we don't have any figures to give you on this. It's a little bit too early. We didn't even yet decide exactly in detail which machine goes. We have some ideas and different alternatives, but we didn't choose yet the alternative.
Okay. And then just one last question, if I may, and that is that in July you sent out a press release regarding the two sites you have in and close to Lausanne. An issue which we had discussed in the past. I mean, if I understood it correctly, you've said that you're looking at the feasibility of merging effectively the two sites, and that you're currently investigating that, and you will then basically reach a conclusion at the end of this, the beginning of next year. Just to clarify, does it actually mean you would entirely abandon the downtown Lausanne site and move everything to Mex, or would it just be a partial shift?
No, you're absolutely right. That's the idea. And just so that everybody understands why we announced that early, because indeed it's not yet the final decision. We have to submit also to the board the justification and a more detailed analysis of the subject, and we announced it in July, in order for us to be able to talk to specialists like the architects, like the engineers, like etc., some of the machine tool suppliers and so on, and not to disturb and make too uncertain a climate for our personnel, because that would have probably had a negative effect on our productivity. That's actually the reason why we came out so early with the information. And yes, you are absolutely right. The project would be, if we go in that direction, would be to abandon the, we call it the PRI site, because it's the name of the community, but to abandon the site in the more downtown Lausanne area in favor of moving everything up to the site, which is about 7 kilometers out of the area, so that we have a better industrial position, better workflows, more efficiency, less transportation cost, and inefficiency cost. So that's really the idea. And then there's a big uncertainty also. I would like to preempt that side also of what's the value of this site, because of course probably it will depend, first of all, it will depend on what the local commune will decide on zoning. This is not being decided. Of course, today it's industrial zone, but we can imagine that the commune will not want to keep it that way. And frankly, from a geographical point of view, for those who visited us, it's not really the place to put industry. So it depends on how they will zone it, which will, of course, influence very strongly the value of the land, and what is on the land, very very little can be used because it's really dedicated to an industrial activity as we have. And there's still a big uncertainty, what's that value? And then the question is, how is the real estate market in the area? And if it's up, we will be able to sell it at the price we're looking for, and if it's down, we have the choice either to sell it down or to wait. So those are the uncertainties we have still have at the moment. And don't forget, the whole thing is scheduled only for 2011 approximately, so that will only come into account at that point in time.
Absolutely. And lastly, on the strategic review, is it right to assume that when you have your analyst conference on the first week of December that you'll present the details then, or will it take until April 08 until you communicate all the details, including the financial aspect on the balance sheet?
Yes, well, we're really shooting for presenting that beginning of December.
Okay.
And then to be able to give a good guidance to all of you of what are the main results of this strategic review. You will have to understand, and I already mentioned that we will have to be a little careful because of competition, so we will not reveal everything, but certainly reveal what is necessary for our investors to understand where the company is going, and indeed what effect it will have in terms of possibilities concerning the balance sheet structure.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Armin Richter. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. First, you confirmed that you see an EBIT margin in the region of the one last semester, when I understood correctly. And you mentioned that you see a higher sales volume than in the second half of 2006. So that means we finally end up with a higher EBIT in second half 07 than 06, or at least about the same.
In terms of absolute value or in terms of margin?
In absolute value.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Your conclusion is right. I mean, we are shooting for a higher absolute, and as a matter of fact, we say it in our communication. Also in terms of margin, we're looking for improvements there. We're looking for higher EBIT situations. As we mentioned in the report, the operating profit margin in percent of turnover is expected to increase, so the margin also.
But that was for the full year. I'm talking about half year.
Aha. For the half year.
We had 102.8 last second half year. So you see you see an EBIT in the same region or even higher?
Now I am a little bit overacted because I didn't look at it at that. I looked at H1 and H1 in total. But based on my idea, it's approximately, it will most probably be approximately in the same order of magnitude, I assume.
Okay. Second question. I heard a rumor that you were thinking about building up a new division dealing with tooling machinery. I mean, I don't expect you telling me what you are going to do, really, but maybe you can say that's definitely not the area we are looking for.
Well, you know, I cannot say too much, but frankly, we're focusing on the packaging industry.
Mm-hmm.
And before we make any diversification outside the packaging industry, we'll have to really, really come to the conclusion that there's no opportunity anymore in the packaging industry, because that's a different industry. And I'm not sure, frankly, and here maybe I say too much already, that we as management have really capabilities to offer our shareholders to add value in a totally different industry. So I'm surprised by the rumor, and let's say it's not known to me that this rumor is around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question. Your personnel costs, they stayed the same like last half year. So what do you expect for the full year?
Well, this is an interesting point, because actually the personnel cost, as we stated in our statement, is indeed as you say. Now, in fact, it has been influenced quite significantly also by the exchange rate. So, you because normally if you state the personnel costs in local currency, then you try to see where we stand. Local currency by local currency is rather decreasing a little bit. But it's the exchange rate that has brought it approximately to the same level as the first half last year. Therefore, depending on exchange rate evolution on the second half, which frankly your guess is as good as mine, or mine is as good as yours, I don't know how to express that, the underlying trend is rather a reduction of personnel costs without exchange rates. Now the exchange rates can blow it up, but normally it goes in that direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Thomas Bowman. Please ask your question.
Yeah, it's again me. I'm sorry. I have a couple of more. The first one goes actually to China. Again, in your press release, you say that you see an increased demand for high productivity equipment. Actually, that's where Bob's home is. Has that demand sort of accelerated, and can you really sort of see Chinese packaging material producers climbing up the quality and productivity ladder, and so that they are really moving into the box segments of mid-end and high-end segments? Because I assume if this is the case and if this is sustainable, it's going to open up, you know, a tremendous potential for box. And then a second question to corrugated board. I mean, we could see, you know, at least for those companies that are listed among your customers, that capacity utilization is much better now. And we saw in corrugated board sales increase of 4.4%. Is it fair to say that order intake at corrugated board was much stronger? I mean, must be from the indications you gave. In corrugated board, and this that is sort of a catch-up in investments of your clients is actually ahead of us only. And then my third and last, and then I shut up, is maybe for Mr. Budzi, CapEx has been very low in the first half. What should we expect for the second? Is it times two, or I suppose it's a bit more than times two? Thank you.
Mr. Baumann, it's always a pleasure talking to you. China. We indeed mentioned that there's an increased interest in, for us, lower segment, for the market, high segment, equipment. I think that trend will continue if China continues to develop stably. However, the big question is how fast. I think the basic trend is there. I mean, they also have increases in labor costs. They also have increases in costs. They start to want to be more competitive on the world market in terms of quality. So I think the basic trend is there. The big question, which I can frankly not answer, is this now accelerating or not? I don't see it really as accelerating. I think the interest we have seen now, or we're seeing this year, I'm not sure it will be at... it will be accelerating in the future. It's too early to say. You know, the Chinese market is a difficult market to understand. We have now over over 200 people there. In sales, we have over 20 people very actively traveling around in China. But still, it's very difficult to really see what happens. So I would not say that China will be booming tomorrow morning for us. But it's certainly an area, and that's why we have invested so heavily in China. It's certainly an area where we have to be present and take every opportunity as soon as a customer starts to think quality goods and productivity. For the corrugated board, your statement is absolutely correct. The customer base, especially the big groups that are quoted also, where you can see the results, are much better, their capacity is much better utilized. Interest in investment has increased. The increase in our turnover of 4.4% does not reflect the increase in order intake. That one is significantly higher than 4.4%. And if it continues that way, and our capacities can be improved with subcontracting and other things, there's an increase to be foreseen in the corrugated board in terms of volume. The negotiations are tough. I mean, with these large groups, it's a big, big challenge to continue to try to improve our margins, which we want to do, and we said that, and we will continue to go in that direction. But when you have a customer in front of you that has, 300 plants, I don't know how many employees, and he talks to the little box, well, there's some power game going on there, which is difficult for a supplier like us. But we are pushing and trying to differentiate ourselves from the competition. So the volume trend will be positive if it continues that way, and the 4.4% does not reflect the order intake. Now, in terms of CapEx, maybe I can say that the guidance we give of 35 to 40 million, you can go with that. The key question, and we were much lower last year, so I understand your question, because we had the same guidance, and then we ended up much lower. Really, frankly, we have a lot of projects underway. The key question will be at the end of the year, December 31st, how much our management, our middle management, will have been able to absorb to implement. So that's what is limiting it. But I think we will be significantly higher than last year and probably not far from the guidance figures. Christian Bibi just says he thinks 35 to 40 million is a good figure. Is that okay?
That would, if I look at the half year, I mean, you had purchase of tangible 7.8, so that would be sort of massively more in H2. I mean.
Yeah, but usually, what it happens is that some of the projects are discussed once the budget is there. Then, until implementation, the accounting side comes in a little bit more in second half. And we have quite a few IT projects which will be implemented in the second half. So you're right, it's unbalanced, but it's not surprisingly unbalanced.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Patrick Klager. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Maybe I missed this one. Do you have any indication looking at the tax rate going forward? And maybe another one, I'm just wondering what kind of new innovation do you plan to present at the Drupa in Düsseldorf? Are these products more focused on the mid or high-end segment and still related to Drupa? Which is the division which might be or might benefit the most from this trade fair?
Okay. On your first question, in terms of tax rate, our guidance is 26-28% tax for the full year of 2007. And for the future years, if you take between 28-30%, it's probably a good guidance for the following years. Okay, so 26-28, our guess for 2007, and 28-30% for the following years. That's the way we see it today.
Okay.
In terms of innovation and Drupa, you will understand that I will not go in detail, but I will give, because we have other people that might listen at this, and we, of course, are a little bit prudent on these subjects. But what I can say is that clearly we had a very, very strong push of innovation in Drupa 4 years ago. Our push of innovation coming out at Drupa will be lower. And we tell that to our customers because we want to them to continue to not be afraid to all the products they know today, because there will be no revolution on our side. In the sense that what we have done over the 4 years since last Drupa and this year, on a very regular basis, both in folding carton and flexible materials, we have held open houses at different places and for different products. So as soon as a product was right to present to the market, instead of holding back a little bit, we presented it immediately. And of course, some of those products will be re-shown also in the Drupa fair, but it will not be perceived as, you know, we had 14 world premieres in the last Drupa. This will not be the case this year, because we think it's better also for our customer base to come and for us to come out with innovations on a more regular basis. Now, those innovations are both mid and high segment innovations. Some of those innovations are on existing models, a next step of improvement in productivity. Some of them are relatively new, but nothing revolutionary. And both FM and FC will show equipment, and they're both of them approximately the same expectations about showing to the to those two industries that we are the innovating leader, that we are showing where the technology is going, that we have a good length, we are a good length ahead of our competition. Both of them are gearing Drupa to get that message across.
Okay, maybe another one, if I may. Can you give us a kind of rough indication about your sales development by sales markets? I mean here, for example, sectors like pharma, food, cosmetics, etc. Do you see any shift between these segments? And the last one is more about competition. Do you see any dramatic change in your competitive environment? Did we, I don't know, miss any recent M&A activity?
Okay. On the sales question, it's actually the market of our customers. Huh? That is very difficult for us to assess, because they run what they want on our machines, and you know that our machines are not dedicated to one or the others of the sectors, as you said, consumer goods, pharmaceuticals, beauty, liquors, or whatever, food. It's not, they are not dedicated, so we don't always know exactly what they run on our equipment. I think if you take the evolution of those industries economically from that side, you have approximately the evolution on what our customers are producing as packages, because they have to supply to that consumption, basically. So much more information we cannot really give you. We didn't see anything special, let me say it that way. We didn't see anything special, nor shift from flexible to folding carton to flexible, etc. There's nothing special that has happened in the last 6 to 12 months that we should mention here. Now, in terms of competition, lively competition, probably with the good market conditions, they also get better volumes. We can imagine that, because everybody gets a little bit its share of the favorable economic situation. And, you know, as long as they don't eat us in the segments we're shooting for, it's, you know, it's okay with us. What we don't like is when they come on our turf, and there we fight like bulls to keep them out of that segment. And there's no big change. I think, to the contrary, with some of the products we came out, we're creating probably a bit of trouble here and there, which makes us, of course, very happy. Now, one thing I have to mention is that, of course, due to the, how should I say, a little bit less booming mid and low segment markets, probably in China, for instance, the suppliers from there are very actively looking how to penetrate Western markets. And we see that they are looking for agents, and they're looking for contacts, and so on. So there we see a stronger push. It is, of course, not a worry, but it is a thing that we have to take into account in the way we approach customers with sales, because, of course, they say they have the similar equipment as the Box Group, but it's a third of the price, and that could be attractive at the first glance to the customers. There, the key is to explain to the customer the difference between spending a little, having no productivity and not reliable, or spending a little bit more, having high productivity and reliable delivery dates. That's the whole game on the sales side. So that trend, we see it, but we are not, it doesn't give yes, and hopefully for the moment not, sleepless nights.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, please press star or the asterisk followed by the one if you have a question. Your next question comes from Alex Milleroni. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi, a few follow-up questions. The first one is if you can say just a bit more in terms of market share as to what is happening in corrugated board. You had mentioned in the past that you were being more aggressive here, and I'm wondering if you're succeeding in gaining additional market share here. Secondly, with respect to flexible materials, you've mentioned that there's more imports from the Far East. I'm just wondering whether you could give us a flavor of how fast you can drive your client's productivity in this respect, and whether you're able to get additional business by doing exactly that in terms of focusing productivity. I mean, is this in 2 or 3 years' time, you think the productivity levels will have reached a level where it won't be worth importing material anymore? And finally, well, actually two more short questions. One is with respect to the savings flowing from Go, were there still a substantial number of measures being implemented in the first half of this year that will therefore pay off over the next 6 to 12 months? And the last question is with respect to acquisitions, should we take it, given your plan to announce the outcome of the strategic review, that there won't be any acquisitions over the next 3 months?
Okay, market share, corrugated board. The market is good. I know that our competitors are also have better volumes today than they had before. We are trying to push as strong as we can. We're starting to touch some limits in capacity on the corrugated board side because we had extremely strong, as I mentioned earlier to Mr. Baumann, we have very strong order intakes there. It's difficult to say. I think we are probably keeping our market shares at the moment, frankly, because there's a lot of demand out there and we just cannot deliver more than so. So I think we're not really gaining any more market share, maybe here and there, but my guess is more that we are right now a little bit flat in terms of market share increase because of the high demand. Flexible materials, Far East, I mean, that's the particularity in this industry is that the converted material, actually these are rolls of film printed, can travel very easily because it's a very compact way of shipping material, and therefore it's a more global industry than the other tools, and the other extreme is maybe the corrugated board industry because of the nature of material. Usually a corrugated board plant does not ship in normal cases beyond a radius of 300 kilometers because then the transportation costs eat up the margin. So it's a really different business we're there. It's more global. And indeed, materials, printed films, extruded, laminated, and printed films, shipping from China to Europe, from Eastern Europe to Europe, from Turkey to the U.S., from India to wherever you want. I mean, it's a much more global. Now, the question there is more, how fast will their costs increase until they're really put under pressure to cost for cost reduction? And that's when we come into the game. Because as long as they just have to supply because demand is there, and then you can do it at lower cost because the labor cost is lower, because the electricity is lower, because the yuan or the renminbi is undervalued, that creates, of course, in the globalization, more demand in those countries than in the more mature countries. What we are doing We are trying to find or to get out with equipment that still could make it attractive for them. For instance, with the raw material increase in flexible, we have came out with a beautiful machine about 12 months ago called minimal waste, because of course any waste saving that can be done as the raw material increases starts to be also interesting for them. So that's where the hope we have to enter. But as I mentioned earlier on, how fast we will enter China and the Far East with our equipment, which is for them on the very high segment, for us on the middle segment of the global world market, that is the big question. We are ready, and we will continue to go down with our products in that as long as we earn money. And I always said that, the commodity type product is not for us. We're not the cost leader in that low segment, so we will not go too far down. But as long as we can offer differentiation, we will do it. I switch to the GO program, still very active, the GO program, still launching projects, even if they don't actually will be finished at the end of 2007, and they will not go into those accounts, we don't care. We have launched the transformation of this group. We have plans to do it further. The program, instead of being called GO, it will take on the approach that the strategic review will give, because the strategic review will also give continuity to the improvement. So that we are there on a longer term endeavor to maximize the position of the group, both on the market, customer market, both and on the investments as the investor side. So we continue that full speed, although in terms of calendar, we come to an end formally of the GO program. In terms of acquisition, yes and no. I would not completely rule out anything that could come out, and I cannot give more information. But what we said, we are pursuing now, again, possible acquisitions in the flexible materials where we have to round off the portfolio of our equipment or strengthen an existing product line, because we said, if you step back a little bit, we said we wanted to be sure that profit could be made in that. We have the second half 2006 where we showed profitability, and that's when we started again to look around. The timing is very difficult to say because they are family business, mid-sized business. The investment is not huge. It will be, as I said once, in the order of, these investments are 50 to 100 million euros, order of magnitude. Don't kill me if it's a little bit above or a bit below, but that's the order of magnitude. So that we're pursuing actively. And it could come that maybe this year, one or the other thing could mature so we could conclude something. But it will not have an effect on the financial statements 2007, probably, because we would do the closing afterwards. Did I answer enough on that one?
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you also.
Once again, please press star or asterisk followed by the one if you have a question. Once again, please press star or the asterisk followed by one if you have a question. There appears to be no further questions. I'd like to hand the meeting back to Mr. Koopman for his closing remarks.
Yes, thank you very much. Once more, thank you for your interest. We came out, I think, with positive news. We see the 2007 indeed also as... unless the world falls apart, a good year. We are very glad to see that many things that we have undertaken, and many of you were becoming a little bit impatient to see the results from it, are coming strongly. We are long-term players. We will continue that, and I think we can look forward to meeting again first in December, when we will give the last assessment of the situation before the end of the year, and we will talk about the strategy and the effect on the balance structure. So this will be an interesting meeting, and then again in the early next year when we will talk about the results of 2007. Thank you very much for your interest.
Thank you, Mr. Koopman. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. On behalf of... Bob's Group, thank you for participating.